and WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News
app.
I'm Justin Finch. Three new criminal charges filed by special counsel Jack Smith, including allegations former President Trump attempted to destroy surveillance footage in the classified documents case. ABC's chief justice correspondent Pierre Thomas has more.
Trump now facing two new counts of obstruction of justice, along with its current aide, Walt Nauta, and a new player, Mar-a-Lago's property manager, Carlos de Oliveira. According to the new superseding indictment, Trump, Nauta, and de Oliveira were allegedly concerned about a pending subpoena for surveillance footage.
Trump calls the charges harassment. The White House said President Biden would not pardon his son, Hunter, one day after his plea deal on tax and gun charges fell apart. President Biden travels today to Maine to sign an executive order that the White House says incentivizes manufacturing in the U.S. This is ABC News. The leader of the Presidential Guard is now the official head of the West African country of Niger. The Army spokesperson making that announcement today, declaring a national curfew with all borders closed. A military mutiny ousted the president this week. The takeover has been bloodless so far. It's the fifth successful coup since its independence from France. Kim Jong-un showing off North Korea's most powerful nuclear missiles in a Thursday parade.
These North Korean military parades are always spectacles, a show of power. That message was double-barreled. Images just released on North Korean state TV showing not only the latest nuclear-capable intercontinental ballistic missile and attack drones, but the very powerful guests joining Kim Jong-un as he watched the parade. At Kim's side, Russian Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu and a Chinese ruling party official.
Chief Global Affairs Correspondent Martha Raddatz. Justin Finch, ABC News.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. It went from hot and humid to stormy yesterday in northwestern Wisconsin as severe storms damaged trees and buildings and caused flash flooding. 1-inch hail was reported in Polk County, while in Sawyer County there were numerous reports of trees snapped in half, blocking roadways and taking down power lines. Wind gusts with the storms were measured as high as 70 miles per hour in northwestern Wisconsin. The severe weather also disrupted the Polk County Fair, which shut down rides and some of its events due to the storms. Today, the severe threat moves to the bottom of the state, with temperatures in our area expected to be in the mid-80s. A hearing yesterday in the case of a teenager accused of murdering a girl in Chippewa Falls sealed autopsy photos and videos from the investigation into the girl's death. The teenage boy, who is charged with killing 10-year-old Lily Peters in April of 2022, will appear in court August 7th as the judge will decide whether the boy will be charged as an adult or if the case will move to juvenile court. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Petty Pincher Bob, and I love a good rummage sale. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now, 715-629-9501. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now. Please have a valid credit card ready to go. See ya!
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
It's so hot. Wait, now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need. Only from the Civic Media weather team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Aldous Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Aldous Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You know, the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide, break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side, break on through to the other side, yeah. We chased our pleasures here, dug our treasures there. But can you still recall the time we cried? Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side.
Yes, break on through. That's what I'm talking about. 7 minutes after 9 o'clock now, Thursday morning. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show, discussing several topics today. First hour, we spent quite a bit of time on education, the importance of education, and the importance of funding education. And speaking of break on through, one thing that's breaking on through is the economy, the United States economy. Evidently, the Bidenomics thing is working. U.S. economy grew at 2.4% rate in the second quarter. That's the headline from the New York Times. It says here the reading on gross domestic product was bolstered by consumer spending, showing that recession forecasts early in the year were premature at least. And this follows that big story, was it yesterday or the day before, when the consumer price index information came out and all of a sudden everybody feels a lot more confident about the future in the economy. This story was just posted a few minutes ago in the New York Times by Ben Castleman. It says the economic recovery gained momentum in the spring as strong consumer spending and resurgent business investment helped once again to keep a recession at bay. Now, how long has it been that economists, especially conservative economists, have been saying that there's a big recession coming? We've been hearing that since Election Day in 2020, since it was known that Joe Biden was going to be the next president. Well, that means there's a big recession coming, right? Well, that big recession, even though we were in an economic emergency at the time due to the pandemic, that big recession never materialized. This piece from the New York Times goes on and says gross domestic product adjusted for inflation rose at a 2.4% annual rate in the second quarter, the Commerce Department announced this morning. That was up from a 2% growth rate in the first 3 months of the year and far stronger than forecasters expected a few months ago. Consumers led the way as they have throughout the recovery from the severe but short-lived pandemic recession in 2020. Spending rose at a 1.6% rate, slower than in the first quarter, but still solid. Much of that growth came from spending on services as consumers shelled out for vacation travel, restaurant meals, and Taylor Swift tickets. Consumers didn't carry all the weight, however. Business investment rebounded in the second quarter after slumping in the first 3 months of the year, and increased spending by state and local governments contributed to growth. Here's a quote from an economist. He says, if you're looking for a working definition of resilient, look no further than the American economy. This is absolutely rock solid. That's according to Joseph Bruzuelas, chief economist at RSM. The persistent strength of the economy has surprised economists, many of whom thought that high inflation and the Federal Reserve's efforts to stamp it out through aggressive interest rate increases would lead to a recession, or at least a clear slowdown in the first half of the year. For a while, it looked as if they were going to be right. Tech companies were laying off tens of thousands of workers. The housing market was in a deep slump, and a series of bank failures set up fears of a financial crisis. Instead, layoffs were mostly contained to a handful of industries. The banking crisis did not spread, and even the housing market has begun to stabilize. The job market stayed strong, giving Americans money to spend. Personal income after taxes and adjusted for inflation rose at a 2.5% rate in the second quarter. Quote, the things we were all freaked out about earlier this year all went away, said Michael Gapin, chief U.S. economist at Bank of America. Inflation has also slowed significantly. That has eased pressure on the Fed to keep raising rates, leading some forecasters to question whether a recession is such a sure thing after all. Jerome Powell, the Fed chair, who also goes to a lot of Grateful Dead and Dead and Company shows, I should mention, said on Wednesday that the central bank's staff economists no longer expected a recession to begin this year. Still, many economists say consumers are likely to pull back their spending in the second half of the year, putting a drag on the recovery. Savings built up earlier in the pandemic are dwindling. Credit card balances are rising, and although unemployment remains low, job growth and wage growth have slowed. Quote, all those tailwinds and buffers that were supporting consumption are not as strong anymore. That's according to Blarina Yurucci, chief U.S. economist at T. Rowe Price. It feels to me like this hard landing has been delayed rather than canceled. And I have a smile on my face because it seems like those conservative economists are still trying to convince us that there is a recession on the way. And I don't know if I believe it. It seems like they've been saying that for a couple of years, and we still haven't seen it. So I don't know. I'm not going to put too much faith in what those conservative economists are saying right now. One thing we haven't discussed too much today, or even yesterday, I don't believe, is what's going on with the former president and his struggles to find lawyers. Evidently, it's leading to some serious issues for the former president. I have a headline here from Rolling Stone. It says, Trump struggles to find enough lawyers to handle his many indictments. The former president wants to use a January 6th trial as a platform for his election lies, but his team is struggling to find attorneys that are willing to go along. And this story from Rolling Stone was just posted yesterday. It says here that Donald Trump could be days away from another indictment, and there are some thoughts that he could be indicted today on the January 6th issue. I'll continue with the story in Rolling Stone. It says, but as a third set of criminal charges looms, he's struggling to recruit lawyers to defend him. Three sources familiar with the situation tell Rolling Stone. In recent weeks, the Trump team has tried with mixed results to bring aboard new lawyers to defend against an expected indictment over Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 election. and the January 6th Capitol attack, even as Special Counsel Jack Smith has signaled his office is ready to bring charges. The recruiting effort has been fraught for several reasons. Trump, the people familiar with the matter say, is an infamously difficult client. One attorney who was approached about work declined, telling Rolling Stone they were dissuaded by the lengthy track record of Trump's personal lawyers suddenly finding themselves in legal jeopardy while working for Trump. Some attorneys who've discussed the investigation with Trump and his close associates believe the case is a certain loser for the defense, arguing, among other things, that Trump's loss at the initial trial is a foregone conclusion in Washington, D.C. The district is a deep blue area and still carries the memory of the January 6th attack. And in the past several weeks, some of Donald Trump's top legal and political advisors have been privately calling the job of defending Trump against an indictment in the election case, the election 2020 case, a, quote, suicide mission. Other lawyers approached about joining, according to two of the sources, were initially receptive before pulling out because of concerns from their peers. Partners at their respective firms objected to taking on Trump as a client, arguing the firm would lose other clients as a result. Those concerns have been a big part of why Team Trump has hit a brick wall while trying to entice big-name law firms to join his cause. Even high-profile lawyers who continue to defend Trump publicly aren't signing up for this one. As Rolling Stone reported last month, Alan Dershowitz, the celebrity attorney who was part of then-President Trump's defense for his first impeachment, quote, has been declining recurring offers from Trump and his advisors to represent the ex-president in different cases since 2021, and did so again as recently as June. The recruiting struggles come after Trump lost several lawyers last month when his legal team for the Mar-a-Lago documents case imploded. These attorneys had also been working on legal strategy for a possible January 6th related indictment. But even as his legal team looks to staff up, their client is focused on turning a potential trial into an opportunity to relitigate his bogus election fraud theories. Trump has privately told members of his team this summer that should prosecutors bring a January 6th related case against him, he wants the trial to be used as a platform to promote his false claim to have won in 2020, according to two people with direct knowledge of the matter. Additionally, Trump has said that during the trial, which he's hoping will be televised, his lawyers should display proof, and proof is in quotes, of Trump's lie that the 2020 election was stolen. Trump having difficulty finding attorneys, it does not surprise me. 918, let's take a break. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom.
This time of year, the world's busiest airport is Oshkosh. During the Experimental Aircraft Association, EAA Air Venture. 10,000 airplanes fly in, typically 600,000 people visit, spending $170 million. Big numbers worth celebrating considering EAA started in a Milwaukee basement with a little more than 100 people 70 years ago. EAA runs through July 30th. Keep an eye to the sky if you're in the Oshkosh area. Daily air shows start at 2:30. I'm Terry Barr.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Here's your updated forecast. Slight chance for scattered storms this afternoon. Otherwise, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. High of 85, northeasterly winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered storms again tonight. Lows level off around 58, partly cloudy. High of 80 tomorrow, mainly sunny skies. Upper 70s Sunday, low 80s Monday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 70.
This summer, Lake Air, 1260 AM, WLAK, has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show, WLAK.
Upon the stair, we spoke of was and when. Although I wasn't there, he said I was his friend, which came as some surprise. I spoke into his eyes. I thought you died alone a long, long time ago.
Sold the world. 22 minutes after 9 o'clock on this Thursday morning, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. And there is a lot of activity today going on concerning the January 6th case. This story just breaking says that Trump lawyers are meeting right now with Jack Smith's team as grand jury convenes in January 6th case. So there is a possibility that we will see an indictment today in that case. At least that's what the pundits are saying. It says here in the story, from the Raw story, Donald Trump's attorneys are meeting with special counsel Jack Smith's team Thursday, right now, ahead of a possible indictment in the January 6th case, according to reports. The federal grand jury investigating the former president's efforts to overturn his 2020 election loss arrived Thursday morning at a federal courthouse in Washington, D.C., and Trump's legal team arrived soon after at the special counsel's office for a meeting, tweeted ABC News reporter Catherine Falders. Trump announced earlier this month that Smith had sent him a target letter, which reportedly mentioned three charges related to the deprivation of rights, conspiracy to defraud the United States, and tampering with a witness. The twice impeached former president has already been indicted on federal charges in Florida related to his mishandling of classified materials, and in New York on fraud charges. And he appears likely to be indicted on possible racketeering and election fraud charges in Georgia for his efforts to reverse his loss in that state. So, will any of this affect his chances of being the Republican nominee? I doubt it. The cult followers are too invested, and they can't admit that they were wrong. So, chances are he will be the Republican nominee. The other guy who did have a chance at becoming the nominee is still causing problems. I got a story here that says Florida loses another multi-million dollar event over racist Ron DeSantis policies. This is from the Raw story. And it says here that Ron DeSantis's efforts to change the way that Florida handles things like diversity, equity, and inclusion are causing the state to lose businesses one after another. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis's war on woke. He's having a war on woke. Now, do we even know what woke means? Well, it doesn't matter. It's something that liberals are into, so we're going to fight it, according to DeSantis. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis's war on woke has cost the state another event that would have generated millions of dollars for the local economy. Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity, the oldest black fraternity in the country, is moving its 2025 conference from Orlando due to the 2024 Republican presidential hopeful's, quote, harmful, racist, and insensitive policies against the black community, end quote, reported the Tallahassee Democrat, which is a newspaper, by the way, if you're not familiar. The quote here says, although we are moving our convention from Florida, Alpha Phi Alpha will continue to support the strong advocacy of Alpha Brothers and other advocates fighting against the continued assault on our communities in Florida by Governor Ron DeSantis, said General President Dr. Willis L. Lonser III in a press release. The event was expected to generate $4.6 million, according to the Intercollegiate Fraternity, whose membership historical figures such, whose membership includes historical figures such as Martin Luther King Jr., Thurgood Marshall, and Adam Clayton Powell. Alpha Phi Alpha joins other national black organizations that have moved events or denounced the governor's policies, including the recent approval of state education standards for history that downplays Florida's role in slavery and racist oppression, including a directive to teach students that enslaved people learned valuable skills they could use for personal benefit. That is still hard to believe. Vice President Kamala Harris also spoke out against that new curriculum, but DeSantis accused her and other Democrats of lying to cover for, quote, their agenda of indoctrinating students and pushing sexual topics onto children. Unbelievable. Anyway, got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
On a Monday, I was arrested. On a Tuesday, I was locked up in jail. On a Wednesday, my trial was attested. On a Thursday, nobody wouldn't go my bail. Yes, sir.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Three new criminal charges filed by Special Counsel Jack Smith, including allegations former President Trump attempted to destroy surveillance footage in the classified documents case. ABC's Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas has more.
Trump now facing two new counts of obstruction of justice, along with his current aide, Walt Nauta, and a new player, Mar-a-Lago's property manager, Carlos de Oliveira. According to the new superseding indictment, Trump, Nada, and De Oliveira were allegedly concerned about a pending subpoena for surveillance footage.
Trump calls the charges harassment. The White House said President Biden would not pardon his son, Hunter, one day after his plea deal on tax and gun charges fell apart. President Biden travels today to Maine to sign an executive order that the White House says incentivizes manufacturing in the U.S. This is ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. It went from hot and humid to stormy yesterday in northwestern Wisconsin as severe storms damaged trees and buildings and caused flash flooding. 1-inch hail was reported in Polk County, while in Sawyer County there were numerous reports of trees snapped in half, blocking roadways and taking down power lines. Wind gusts with the storms were measured as high as 70 miles per hour in northwestern Wisconsin. The severe weather also disrupted the Polk County Fair, which shut down rides and some of its events due to the storms. Today, the severe threat moves to the bottom of the state, with temperatures in our area expected to be in the mid-80s. The next step in the proposed merger of Marshfield Clinic and Essentia Health was completed this week as the two healthcare systems announced that they would form a new regional healthcare system that covers four states. That includes northwestern and north central Wisconsin. The two companies expect to merge by the end of the year. The merger would still need to be approved by regulators. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
Hey, this is Penny Pincher Bob, and I love a good rummage sale. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now, 715-629-9501. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now. Please have a valid credit card ready to go. See ya!
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Must be getting early. Clocks are running late.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show on a Thursday morning, 9:35 right now. Music from the Grateful Dead as we get back into the program. By the way, it's going to be another scorcher outside today. Already in La Crosse, it's 80 degrees. And even up in Hayward right now, it's 77. So be ready for it today. Hey, speaking of the Grateful Dead, I wanted to get to a story about that band. And, you know, we often discuss music on this show, and I try not to spend too much time on the Grateful Dead because they are not it's not popular music. It's not the kind of music you hear on the radio very often, except maybe on this show occasionally. And the Devil's Advocates do play it quite a bit, Grateful Dead music quite a bit. But I wanted to mention this story, and this is, I think, especially going to be interesting for people who aren't really familiar with the Grateful Dead and what that's all about. You know, when I talk to people about the Grateful Dead, especially people that aren't familiar with them, they will often have a completely different idea of what the music sounds like. For some reason, that name, the Grateful Dead, makes it sound like it's going to be some kind of thrashing heavy metal or something. But as you can tell from the song we just played, it's not that at all. In fact, that particular song was probably their biggest hit ever back in 1987. I do believe it cracked the top 10 and may have gone to number one. I didn't look that up to confirm, but that was their biggest song. There was a video on MTV at the time that was very popular. And now it seems that band has come to an end, but maybe not. You never know. Because no matter how many times they die, the dead always have come back, at least until now. I found this interesting story at theringer.com, and it says, this story says, a requiem for the dead. And as you may know, if you follow music at all, the dead, the Grateful Dead, disbanded back in 1995 after the death of their lead guitarist, Jerry Garcia. But since then, in the, 28 years since then, there have been many reincarnations of that band, with other members joining the original or longtime members. And now, as we sit here in 2023, the most recent incarnation, called Dead and Company, with John Mayer on guitar, has called it quits, evidently. This story starts out this way. It says, Dead and Company, the most successful and longest running post-Jerry configuration of Grateful Dead members, has purportedly given up the road. We took one last trip to Shakedown Street to make sense of what it all meant and what it means if they really are done. It says here, the Grateful Dead have died many times, depending on whom you ask. Their first death came only a few years after their 1965 formation, as the raunchy organ jams and all-night raves of their psychedelic days gave way to statelier songwriting and more sophisticated playing. The transition was punctuated by the 1973 death of Ron Pigpen McKernan, the harmonica player and vocalist, whose ability to command a room and yell out blues ad libs for half an hour on Turn On Your Love Light made him an intensely personable figure. At one point, he was so recognizable, the band's label ran a Pigpen lookalike contest. But as the Grateful Dead's exploratory ethos inevitably led them to new territory and better drugs, Pigpen was left behind. He avoided psychedelics, drank bottle after bottle of wine, and stopped touring a few months before his death. Though Jerry Garcia was already the band's intellectual center, Pigpen had been its major draw and frontman until he wasn't. His final show at the Hollywood Bowl in 1972 marked the last time a truly charismatic singer performed Grateful Dead music with any of the band's original members until October 29th of 2015. That was when Grateful Dead guitarist Bob Weir and drummers Mickey Hart and Bill Kreutzmann took the stage at Times Union Center in Albany, New York,
for the first gig with their new guitarist and co-vocalist, John Mayer. Yeah, that John Mayer, the pop star. The surviving members of the Grateful Dead have reconfigured themselves several times since Jerry Garcia's death in 1995, playing under a variety of names, both together, like The Other Ones, Further, and The Dead, and solo. Phil Lesh and Friends, Bobby Weir and Wolf Brothers, also Rad Dog before that. Plenty of guitarists have been put in the unenviable position of stepping into Garcia's role as the band's primary musical force to varying degrees of success. But with all due respect to Warren Haynes, there has never been anyone quite like Mayer involved with this music before. The Dead & Company lineup didn't make immediate musical sense in 2015 and was, quite frankly, very funny for people who didn't care about Mayer or the Dead. Enlisting John Mayer with his bankable face and blandly virtuosic blues-scorching style seemed like an extraordinarily obvious cash grab and an artistically suspect decision, although not everybody would agree with that. But according to the author of this piece, it seemed equally impossible to imagine Mayer fans wooking out to the red-eyed reggae of Estimated Profit and crusty deadheads savoring slicked-back versions of old Pigpen songs. But over the course of the last 8 years and 235 shows, Dead & Company performed several miracles. They lasted longer than any post-Garcia configuration of Grateful Dead members, a genuine feat considering the level of animosity and manipulation among those surviving players, and consistently played the crowds that rivaled those the Dead drew in the heady gate-crashing days of the late 1980s and early 1990s when they were the biggest touring act in the country. Those bigger crowds, in turn, rekindled the parking lot scene that has been part of Dead culture since the late 1970s at a scale not seen since the days of Garcia. Though the fastidiously refused to expand it, Dead & Company developed a genuinely new way of performing and presenting what is almost certainly the greatest and most dynamic songbook any American rock band has ever produced. But perhaps most important, they maintained and ultimately solidified the legacy of the Grateful Dead, not so much as a band, but as the originators of a distinct form. Though it may seem unlikely when artists of their generation are selling off their catalogs for nine digits, no rock band of any era will be remembered as fondly as the Grateful Dead. Most musicians understand their primary medium to be the studio recording, which makes sense. You can maintain control in the studio, and the songs are placed on a gallery wall and can be admired like paintings. They are essentially finished. But by understanding their music as something that should be made fresh every night, night after night for new fans, year after year, and decade after decade, the Grateful Dead suggested that their songs are never complete. There's no final version. There's not even a definitive live version. In 2023, even the most proficient Beatles tribute acts are working the college bar circuit. And it's impossible to imagine anyone daring to take up the mantle of the Lennon-McCartney catalog with any credibility once Sir Paul calls it quits. But in 100 years, there will still be bands who are able to tour the country playing Grateful Dead music in new and inventive ways, bringing the old corpses to life once again, and there will be crowds eager to hear them do it. But I'm getting ahead of myself. These are all solidified thoughts, intellectual endpoints, and even if they're where we'll end up, there's no telling how we'll get there, which is, as you probably heard, the whole point. I set out to see as many Dead & Company shows as I could this summer, ultimately catching 10 concerts in 4 states, from the warm-up at Jazz Fest to the 3-night finale in San Francisco. I wasn't in search of the true meaning of America or after any of the other very literary reasons people often give for going on the road, we have more than enough writing from white people who are trying to figure out why they don't feel at home here. I am a deadhead. I sigh as I say so, for I see the Paisley pattern connotations that spill out of that word the moment I type it. I was 9 years old when Garcia died, and my natural taste runs between slippery jazz and blackened death metal. But the music of the Grateful Dead has a hold on me that I cannot explain. I wanted to figure out why I'm not the only one. The New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival has run nearly every year since 1970, and it has almost always had terrible weather. There's really no good time to stage an outdoor festival in New Orleans, or at least not one that spans 7 days of on-site performances over 2 weeks. For hours leading up to the Dead & Company set on May 6th, it rains hard. Pelting, driving, tropical rain, the kind that obviates any rain gear, and perversely, for New Orleans at this time of the year, it's cold. I clutch my link of, let's see, I think there's another typographical error in here, but it says he's resigned to being physically miserable in a way that is at least novel, while my battle-hardened local friends and warm-blooded Midwestern spouse laugh and place bets on what the band will open with. A shirtless guy in a crumbling cowboy hat wanders past selling enamel pins of the Steal Your Face Skull and Lightning Bolt logo, the Terrapin Station Turtles, and Garcia's Wolf logo. Man, I think I got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
The Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media. 608-819-8255.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Slight chance for scattered storms this afternoon. Otherwise, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. High of 85, northeasterly winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight, slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows level off around 58. Lots of sunshine tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 80. Upper 70s Sunday, low 80s Monday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 71.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Mm-hmm.
if my words did glow with the gold of sunshine, and my tunes were played on the harp unstrung. Would you hear my voice come through the music? Would you hold it near as it were your own? It's a hand-me-down. The thoughts are broken. Perhaps they're better left unsung. I don't know. Don't really care. Let there be songs to fill the air. When there is no pebble toss, nor wind to blow, reach out your hand. If your cup be empty, if your cup is full, may it be again. Let it be known there is a fountain that was not made by the hands of men. There is a road, no simple highway, between the dawn and the dark of night. And if you go, no one may follow. That path is for your steps alone. Ripple in still water, when there is no pebble tossed, no wind to blow. You can choose to lead, must follow. But if you fall alone. If you should stand, then who's to guide you? If I knew the way, I would take you home.
If I knew the way, I would take you home. It's the Grateful Dead. That's that band that we were discussing before the break. You can leave that playing in the background there for a minute, Aaron, because I want to bring you into the conversation, if you don't mind. When we were on the break there, Aaron was telling me about his experience with the Grateful Dead, and he's a pretty young guy. You're still in your 20s, is that right?
Yeah, I'm 24.
Okay. And if you don't mind, could you tell our audience what you were sharing with me during the break about your experience relating to the Grateful Dead?
Yeah, I've heard some of their stuff over the years, but I never really got it. It wasn't something I sought out. I just heard it sometimes and was like, that's nice. But then earlier when we started this show, Stu mentioned the meetup at the movies, and I found that there were two seats left at the one that was a theater near my house. So my roommate and I went. And after that, like, 3-hour concert, then I got it. And I really wish I would have done something like this sooner so I could have made it to some of those Dead & Company concerts.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate that you didn't get to see Dead & Company in the time that they were around, but there will be other incarnations. And, of course, Bob Weir, one of the original members of the Dead, is out on the road with his band, Bobby Weir, and the Wolf Brothers, featuring the Wolf Pack, and they're doing a tour in September. And there are other incarnations, and there are dozens, if not hundreds, of Grateful Dead cover bands around the country. Just this past weekend, I went camping at a Grateful Dead festival. So there were lots of Grateful Dead bands at that festival and people that have played with the Dead, etc. But I agree with you 100% on that. And I've known many, many people over the years who felt the same way, that it's not easy just to grab a hold of the Grateful Dead and the sound and the way they make music, but it's something that might grow on you. And when I first heard the Grateful Dead, I didn't completely get it either. But eventually it started growing on me, and I started seeking out that music and bought my first record and went to my first show. And the last show that the Grateful Dead performed in July of 1995, just about a month before Jerry's passing, I think it was like July 9th or something, was down in Chicago, Soldier Stadium. And that particular show, the last show by the Grateful Dead, was my 75th Grateful Dead show. And at that time, I thought I would get to 100. You know, I would get to at least 100 shows before everything wrapped up. But of course, it didn't happen that way. That last show, that 75th show, was the last show the Grateful Dead ever performed. But I've seen Dead and Company many times since then. And I've also seen Bob Weir and his bands, Rat Dog and the Wolf Brothers, and Phil Lesh, the bass player, with his bands. But it is something that sticks with you. And as Aaron and I were discussing during the commercial break, it's not like other bands, and that was in this article too. Other bands go into the studio and they create this definitive version of the song that they wrote. But when you see a band like the Grateful Dead or any of their offshoots or related bands, it's not like there is a definitive version of the song. They are recreating the song every night on stage. You, as an audience member, are witnessing the creation of art as it happens in the moment on stage, as these guys are having a conversation about how that song is going to sound on this particular evening.
Yeah, it really takes a lot from like going to a small jazz combo or something and hearing that. It's a very similar thing, but in this genre, nobody else is doing it like that. And I know you've made the comparison to like big band music before, where they're all kind of talking over each other, but still listening and working together.
Yeah, like New Orleans style Dixieland, man. They're all doing leads all at the same time. Man, we are running out of time. I could talk about the Grateful Dead for days. Hey, everybody, have a good day today. Thank you for tuning in. Stu Daniels Show. I'll be back tomorrow morning, 8 a.m.
This is Penny Pincher Bob, and I love a good rummage sale. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now, 715-629-9501. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now. Please have a valid credit card ready to go. See ya!
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The Supreme Court threw out affirmative action.
In a lengthy dissent, Justice Sonia Sotomayor spoke at length from the bench. In so holding, the court cements a superficial rule of colorblindness in endemically segregated society where race continues to matter.
Not anymore, Robert says.
We're good.
Doesn't.
We're good. You can talk about how racism has impacted you in your life and other spots of the admissions.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local civic media radio station and on the app. You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan.